partly sunny with a high near 90. Light and variable wind. Chance precipitation is 50%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. Mostly cloudy with a low around 71. South wind around 6 miles per hour, becoming calm after midnight. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorm. Wednesday, more showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 89. Calm wind becoming south, 5 to 8 miles per hour in the morning. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 9 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 71. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Ditto, 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 except for Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 78.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There's a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We work out of our houses. We have no paid staff or anything like that. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or know someone or work with someone or are friends with someone who have a mental health issue. If we have someone that comes to us who has the mental health issue, we try to get them the services that they would need to go on with their life. We do various things. We have what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course. Everything is free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the class. You just have to register. It goes over medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have what they call a basics class, which is for families who have younger children up to and under the age of 18. It's a six-week course. Again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI, but you just have to register. We also run a support group the third Thursday of every month right here in Flemington on East Main Street. It's from 7 to about 8:30. Sometimes it runs till 9 o'clock, depending on how many people are there. Again, don't have to be a member of NAMI. You don't have to register for the support group. All you have to do is come. If you have any questions or anything like that or anything we can help you with, or you would like some more information about anything, just give us a call at 908-284-0500. It's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone answer the phone 24/7, but a lady does check it at least twice a day, and we promise we'll get back to you just as soon as possible. We are very fortunate to have with us today Jeff Warren, who is Casa Shores Community Outreach Coordinator. Now, Jeff is graciously filling in for Tracy. As she said, Heisler?
Heisler, yes. Yes.
Who was scheduled to come on the show, but she had to have a knee surgery for her broken knee. And so we thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having us on. And I'll tell you, what NAMI does and what Casa Shaw does, I think inevitably on the grassroots ground level, we're all trying to make our communities that much better for our kids and just for people who do need some help. So yeah. I think it's great what you're all doing as well.
Yeah. It's funny because, ironically, I gave a presentation not too awful long ago to your volunteers, in Flemington, and on mental illness and how to handle certain circumstances they may run into, and it was kind of interesting to me. The room was packed, so there was a lot of volunteers there.
Right.
First, I would like you to tell me, or everybody listening, exactly what Casa Shaw is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who it helps?
Yeah, CASA Shaw. Well, first and foremost, CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates.
Okay.
Court-Appointed Special Advocates and their association. It's a national association that is dedicated to assisting foster children within our local communities. And what happens at every CASA organization is we all train, in the 14 programs here in New Jersey, train volunteers. I know with NOMNY, you're a volunteer as well, but we train volunteers specifically to help foster children through the New Jersey Family Court process, because it is quite a process for these young children who are really just kind of lost a lot of the times. And what we want to do is provide that independent voice. And that's what our advocates are. They are an independent voice for the judge that gives them an extra set of eyes, an extra set of ears to let them know what is the best interest for that child moving forward. And specifically from a schooling standpoint, a placement standpoint, whether or not they should be reunified with their parents or whether or not they should stay with a relative, right, or be in another foster resource home. Inevitably, what CASAs do is provide a report and a recommendation to the judge as to what is going to be in the best interest of these foster children within our community. So that's what CASA is. That's what our mission is. And we've grown significantly over the course of the past couple years, not just in terms of staff, but in terms of the number of volunteers that we have at CASA Shaw in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties, but also the children served as well. Right. Unfortunately, we're seeing more foster children entering the system, and we're engaging those individuals, and we are engaging those children and making sure that they have a voice in court. Here in Hunterdon County, we are supporting 100% of children in care, about 100% in Somerset County, and we're about 70-75% in Warren County, which is a little bit more of a challenge for us. So overall, that's what CASA and CASA Shaw is, Larry.
And I got to ask, you have a question?
Well,
okay, I got to ask,
yeah,
how did you get involved in this line of work?
Well,
find it interesting.
Yeah.
I ask because I find it interesting because different people tell me different things.
Exactly. We all have our own paths.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know I was out of work, and it was a Saturday, and I was splitting wood, and I was angry, and I was splitting it hard. And then all of a sudden, the thought crossed my mind, Cartwright, you have 4 kids, a mortgage, car payments, insurance, and you got to put food on the table.
Right.
You better get your butt out there and get a job. So Monday I went out, and Wednesday I got a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I was just curious. You know, that was my, and I happened to like the job I got, so I stayed in it.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, when people are in this type of work, how did you get involved in it?
My path is pretty interesting because, yes, I am the community outreach coordinator for CASA Shaw, but I'm actually also a CASA volunteer advocate as well, and a peer coordinator too. A peer coordinator takes new volunteer advocates under their wing, gives them advice when they need to, kind of points them in the right direction. So for me, though, my path started many, many years ago. I've always been involved in public service. I've always been involved in grassroots volunteerism. I've always been very, very in tune to what communities need because of what they don't have. And I am from Pennsylvania. For over 13 years, I worked for a state senator as her director of outreach. I was also a city councilman in the city of Easton for over 6.5 years. And I worked in the private sector then. I kind of got out of public service a bit, worked in the private sector. And after that necessarily didn't work out in the end, I just knew that I wanted to get back and involved in the grassroots level, because that's where change happens. That's where we can really impact people's lives. It's on the grassroots level, right in our local communities and neighborhoods. So kind of like you, Larry, I answered a job ad, and I sent my resume, my credentials, and our executive director, Tracy Heisler, and one of our board of trustees brought me in for an interview, and the rest is history. But child advocacy is something that's always been very near and dear to my heart, with other organizations that I've volunteered for as well in the past. It's important that we continue to give children who don't have a voice resources as we all try to get better as a community. And I think that, for me, is where my path has not only led me up until this point, but where I specifically want to go in the future. And Casa Shaw's mission does that, too. We're not just settling for what we have now. We want to get better. We want to reach more children. We want to make sure that we are servicing 100% of kids in Somerset, Hunter, and Warren County. And I think it's that mentality and mindset of, let's just get better. Let's have our communities get that much better is what has driven me. And I know our case supervisors, as well as Tracy and our other administrative staff, that's why we're all here working for on behalf of foster children.
Right.
So I do have a question here.
Yes.
Now, you said that the number of children in foster care is increasing. Is that by a large number, by a large amount?
A lot of what is happening is because, and we all know these catchphrases, the opioid crisis.
Right.
It is very real, and it touches every single community, whether it's urban, suburban, rural communities. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction is touching all of our communities like never before because our society has changed in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the children who do end up in foster care, more of them, I think these days here, are in the system as a result of that. It's no fault of their own. It's because of addiction and what addiction has done to our communities. And while I don't actually have the percentage of number increase with me right now, we have seen it. And throughout New Jersey, we continue to see that. And we're very fortunate to have a very supportive CASA of New Jersey overall organization that oversees the 14 other programs to provide us some direction and some funding as well in order for us to reach those kids who we might not have been able to reach before.
So a follow-up question to that is, are most of the kids, do they end up staying in their home county or do they get moved throughout the state or how does that work?
Well, what we do at CASA Shaw, and it's really up to every case. Every case is different, and the particulars of every case are different. What DCP&P does, the county agency, is they like to keep the kids in the same school that they are in. If they are in school, sometimes they do get moved based on whether or not their particular family members who might be willing to take them are in that county or outside of that county. Again, it's a case-by-case situation.
Right.
However, what we like to do at CASA is make sure that our volunteer advocates, if they are from Hunterdon County, Somerset, or Warren, that they're specifically handling those cases within those counties. So that's what we like to do. It doesn't always work out like that.
Well, once in a while, it doesn't, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, for instance, I live in Bethlehem. I'm a volunteer advocate for Hunterdon County children. I was sworn in by the Hunterdon County judge, and my particular case, right now, I come to Hunterdon County once a month, and I meet with the children in my case, and I have no problems doing that. Mm-hmm. But it really is a case-by-case basis.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, what does a community outreach coordinator do at CASA?
Well, it's a lot of communications, marketing, public relations. I want to make sure that CASA Shaw is visible in all of our communities in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties. That's essentially my job. The one thing we've done over these close to two years now, is making sure that we're incorporating a lot of video within our outreach initiatives, making sure that people understand and they have that visual eye to give people a good idea and understanding that CASA's, court-appointed special advocates, they're just like all of us. You know, they're not just attorneys or school teachers or retirees. I mean, I'm very, very happy that in our newsletter that's coming out this month, we have a volunteer spotlight where we spotlight a volunteer who's done some tremendous work. And it's a young volunteer in her 20s, and she has taken on her case with such passion, where we want to make sure that we are letting the community know that there are individuals of all ages, of all demographics, of all different backgrounds who can volunteer their time if they want in order to help make a difference in the life of a child. But what we're trying to do at CASA Shaw is to be engaged in social media. We're trying to be more engaged from a community relations and community outreach standpoint to reach out to other organizations that are of the same mind frame of, on the grassroots level, let's make a change, let's make a difference in the life of a child. So creating partnerships is extremely important to us and part of my job as well. I work in conjunction with our executive director, Tracy Heisler, doing that, and we've seen a lot of success so far.
You know, it's ironic because I don't know exactly how long ago, but it's been less than a year ago that I found out what CASA Sure was.
Yeah.
Prior
mm-hmm.
to that, I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people haven't. You're not alone.
I'm saying I've been doing this for 20 some odd years
right.
for NAMI in mental health, and I've never heard of CASA Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and what they did or who they served or anything like that.
Right.
And then when I was approached to give a talk to the volunteers, I said, wow, I got to find out what they do. So I'm, Googling it and all that.
Exactly.
And I think there's a lot of people like me
mm-hmm.
that doesn't know what CASA Sure is or who to help.
So that's part of your job.
Exactly.
Right. You know,
yeah.
And I think that that's great, you know, mm-hmm. that if you can get the word out about, what you
Well, I think in the world of foster care, we have seen over so many decades that there's a stigma with regard to the children who are in care. They're just bad kids. Society doesn't want them. Let's put them over here. Let's put them to the side a little bit more, and we're not really going to have to deal with them. I think for decades, back the old orphanage days, I think you would see that a lot, where people didn't understand behavior as much as they do now. Again, I talked at the beginning of our discussion here about how I think we get better. I just think we get better. We understand socialization process. We understand behaviors more these days than ever before. We understand how the mind works more and how addiction affects our communities and families
right.
and everything. So I think that the world of foster care we're catching up. We're catching up to what these children are going through, what foster care actually is, that these children who are in foster care by no decision they've made on their own, that it's not an awful thing. They're kids that just need some assistance and some
right.
help.
Right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As a new round of tariffs are set to take effect September 1st on Chinese goods, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is defending the Trump administration's tariff policy, saying U.S. consumers are doing okay.
Import prices, in fact, have been down from a year ago. And as you know, there's very little inflation in the consumer economy. So thus far, there has not been any real basis for saying the tariffs have hurt the consumer.
Ross was speaking there on Fox Business. An Ohio man will be facing a judge on Monday accused of making threats against the Jewish community. FBI agents say James Reardon posted a video online in which he identified himself as a gunman at a local synagogue, even though the shooting never took place. The 20-year-old Reardon was arrested on Friday. And you're listening to USA.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. My co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we're very privileged to have with us today Jeff Warren from Casa Shaw, and he's the Community Outreach Coordinator, which we established what that was, you know, a few minutes ago. I wanted to get, when I say your clients, I'm talking about the youth that you deal with.
The youth we serve, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know you get some of the youth through the New Jersey Family Court System. And how does that work?
Well, what happens is, trying to make a long story short, there's an incident that will happen with a family, and law enforcement will get involved. Law enforcement then works in conjunction with our DCP&P county offices, and there's reports that are drawn up, and where it's in DCP&P's hands, DCP&P will then make the determination as to whether or not that child should be able to stay in the home and with that particular family. So right at that moment, it's going through the court process. That's where the court process then starts. And a judge will then say, okay, we want to have a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate, also on this particular case as well. And usually that does happen with a lot of cases. A lot of these cases are very sensitive. The children range from ages of being a baby up until they're 17 years old, 18 years old. In fact, my case right now, I have amazing young lady who's going to be going to Rutgers, and she was the victim of sexual abuse for some years, but
at her home,
removed from her home along with her siblings, and we're going through the process of assisting her as much as we can. As of course, DCP&P is assisting her as much as they can with helping her transition to college. But to get back to what you were saying, Larry, and you're asking, was, you know, it really is the judge inevitably that's going to say, we're going to have a CASA appointed to this case because I want to have that independent eyes and ears with regard to this particular case. Give me that report every month because I want to know what's happening with their schooling, their medical information, their psychological information, everything pertaining to that child in order for us to keep that child safe and hopefully get them into some sort of permanency in the future.
I have a question.
You
mentioned incident precipitates. What happens in that first 24 hours, the critical period? Does the judge get involved that quickly, or where does the
judge? Usually not the judge involved that quickly. It's usually just law enforcement dealing with DCP&P at that point, and then DCP&P will take on the case. And we work with DCP&P. We don't actively go out to DCP&P and say, we want this particular case or we don't want this particular case. That's not where our jurisdiction lies when it comes to what our service is to foster children. But what happens is DCP&P, they know who Casa Shaw is. They know in other counties, other CASA programs as well, as do the judges. So we all kind of work in concert with each other, in conjunction with each other. So those first 24 hours, it's more of a fact-finding mission for DCP&P to make sure that they either get the children out of whatever situation they're in, if there's a real threatening type of issue, whether it is physical abuse, mental abuse. They will do evaluations and write up their reports and make sure that the appropriate action is taken at that point.
We should explain what DCP&P is.
Yeah, the Department of Children and Protective oh, my gosh, I'm having an issue.
It used to be called DIFAS.
It used to be called DIFAS.
Same idea. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm having a brain issue. I apologize to the listeners out there.
I think everybody knows now.
Brain issues.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
But now, do you find that most of your youth are removed from the family, or are they allowed to stay within the family, depending on
absolutely.
The circumstances?
Almost always removed.
Okay.
Almost always removed, because more times than not, there's some sort of criminal activity that has either gone on, or there's a substance abuse issue that has gone on, where the judge will then mandate that that family member, that biological mother or biological father, has to go through some sort of treatment, a plan of action, parenting classes, whatever the case is. Child's removed from the situation so that the parent can do and hopefully do what has been mandated by the court.
Right.
Now, do we see certain situations where parents are struggling, where it is a challenge for them? Absolutely. But working with the county and working with Casa Shaw, too, we are able to help provide even them resources to make sure that they can stay on track to inevitably get their children back. Because when you are a child and taken away from your parents, what you want in the end is to be with your biological parents. That's right. The natural sure. feeling for children. They want to be with mom. They want to be with dad. For the most part, inevitably, the children that we see, no matter what happened to them, whatever traumatic experience they went through, inevitably, they want to be with that parent in their life. They mm-hmm. don't want to be separated, regardless of the trauma. So what we try to do is provide the resources to the mom, to the dad, in order for them to help get themselves back on track. But inevitably, though, we're looking out for the best interest of the child throughout right. the court process.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now, when you run into a circumstance where you being cast ashore, don't feel like the child should be back in the home.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
That's a tricky situation, Larry, because and it's interesting you raise this, because as we go through the training process, as CASA volunteer advocates go through that 30 hours of training, and maybe I should start off by saying what individuals need to do if they want to become a CASA is you have to attend what's called an information session, and then you have to go through an actual interview process to be accepted into the training program. The training program is 30 hours over the course of usually about 6 weeks or so. But during that training process, our volunteer advocates are taught to, in a way, compartmentalize their own feelings about how their case is going. Compartmentalize your own feelings, what you think should happen. Provide a report to the judge and to the court, which is going to be what's in the best interest of the child. So it's a very, very delicate balance, again, of compartmentalizing your own feelings and what you think should happen, and needing to go by the book and go by regulations as to where the child not only where the child should be, but are we providing certain services to that child? Are they getting the services that they need at school? Are they getting the medical care that they need? And once all those things come into place, that the feelings that you may have during the course of a case, mm-hmm. they tend to go in a little bit of a different direction, because you get a little bit more perspective on what the best interest of the child should be at that point. Can't simply say in your recommendations in your court report, I want this child not to ever go back with mom or dad. That's not something that would be acceptable in the court. And through our training, that would never happen.
Right.
That would never
right.
happen. Okay. So I hope I was able to answer
yeah.
your question
no,
in that
absolutely.
Regard.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you, as a CASA Shore advocate, mm-hmm. do you go into people's houses?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once a month, that is what is mandated, that if you are a court-appointed special advocate, if you are a CASA volunteer advocate, that you meet with the child once a month in their resource home. You meet with them. You talk to them simply about what's going on in their life. You talk about school. You talk about what they were doing throughout the summer. You talk about if they're having, again, any medical issues, just how they're feeling maybe about the situation that right. they're currently involved in. You go to the home. At times you talk to the resource parents, who basically, quote, foster parents. We like to call them resource parents instead of foster parents these days. But you talk to them and get a good sense of what's happening with the child's life. And you can also talk to school guidance counselors. I mean, you are sworn right. in by the judge, and you have the wherewithal to be able to reach out to them. You can reach out to doctors to see if a child's immunizations are where they need to be within that child's life. So, yes, you meet with the child. You're able to obtain information, again, inevitably to help make life – I don't want to say life better for the judge, but help the judge make the best informed decision on where
right.
to place that child. So,
right.
yes, you do meet with the child monthly within their resource home.
Okay, and that in their resource home isn't their home.
Yeah, it's not their home.
Right.
It's where they're currently placed
yes. and living.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you find that they accept this, or
it's a case by case basis, Larry. It really is. There are some kids who at first it's a traumatic experience. Not only are they going
sure.
through the trauma within their own home, of course. But
that are taken in place someplace with people they don't even know.
Exactly. I mean, it could be an aunt and uncle who they
kind of
know, But at times, it's with somebody who they don't even know. So that in itself is a traumatic experience. And the one thing that we've been trying to do more and more over the past year to year and a half at Casa Shaw is to inform our community about trauma, what trauma means, and how we can begin engaging it, because it is such a challenge within our local communities. It's such a challenge for people to really understand and grasp in a way what trauma is and just how it affects all of us in so many ways. Some people are able to take trauma, they're able to compartmentalize it, be fine with it. There are other people who can take trauma and they will unfortunately find gateways to deal with that trauma that are not healthy and conducive to living the type of lifestyle that they want to live. But we have been trying, and Tracy Heisler, our executive director, she is a certified trauma trainer through what's called the ACEs program. I would urge anybody listening to this right now to Google search ACEs, A-C-E-S, where you can actually take a quiz to find out what your ACEs score is to then determine how much trauma you have faced in your life. And what we want to do is make sure that we're reaching out to businesses, and that's part of what I do as well, reaching out to police departments, reaching out to local businesses, large and small businesses, reaching out to other community organizations to say, we will provide you this free trauma training, trauma-informed training at no cost, because we just want to raise more awareness of it at Casa Shaw, because it's going to inevitably be beneficial to more of our communities and more of our businesses and neighborhoods as we move forward.
Right.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
If someone is placed with a relative, you're still going to visit them, but the relative,
absolutely,
the child.
And yeah.
Do you have to make a recommendation to a judge every 30 days on how long the child should stay?
It's approximately every – not necessarily on – you can make that recommendation. Usually it's every 30 days you're providing that recommendation to the judge, because that's how often usually cases are heard. Depends on where the case is at. But you can make a recommendation, and I have with my case in particular recommended that we believe that at this current time, based on the information in this report, we recommend that these children stay with aunt and or uncle so-and-so at this time.
Right.
So, yes, we absolutely can recommend that.
Now, do most of these volunteers have just one case, or do they have more than one?
There are some volunteers. We have some very – we have some super volunteers out there who actually have more than one case. It's really remarkable what some people are able to do with their time. We have some amazing volunteers who have two and sometimes three cases. Usually two is the most that we would like to give our volunteer advocates, but usually individuals will have one case. And a case can last anywhere from 6 months, 8 months. And we have cases that have been ongoing for many years now, where it's 5, 6 years, where there's been a baby who has been born, and they were born to a mother who had an addiction to whatever substance it was, and that mother is still having challenges and struggles getting her life in order, wants her child back in the end, but we are still following that child through the court process because they're not able to yet come home to mom.
Well, if someone has a case, you said they need to visit at least once a month. How often do they stay in touch? Do they visit more than – are they allowed
to visit? Oh, they can, absolutely. Yeah. I know with my case, there were times when I was text messaging one of the boys that I was a CASA volunteer for, just to see how things were going with him, just to see how his day at school was. It could be anything. I wanted him to know, and that's what CASA volunteers do. We want that child to know, and through our actions, through a CASA volunteer's actions, when you're engaged with the child, you may be that only one person in that child's life that is consistent. You may be
who
that cares. One person who cares, who shows up.
Right.
And that is what we like to, and that's honestly, from a marketing standpoint, that's what we say, is that if you're a CASA volunteer advocate, you may be that one person, that one stable adult in that foster child's life that is going to show up on a consistent basis. And that is what makes the difference in the life of a child.
Right. You said you had something going on tonight.
Yeah, we have an information session here in Hunterdon County at 5:30. It's at the Bethlehem Presbyterian Church. The address is 2 Race Street in Pittstown, New Jersey. The information session, the information session is very critical because that's where people learn what it takes to become a CASA volunteer.
Right.
So you have to attend an information session first. That's part of our regulations at CASA Shaw. And if you're interested, then you go from there. So if anybody out there is listening right now, again, 5:30 tonight at the Bethlehem Presbyterian Church, 2 Race Street in Pittstown, New Jersey, please get in touch with our volunteer trainer. Her name is Karen Cassano. She can be reached via email, karen@casashaw.org. Again, Karen at Casashaw.
With a K.
Yeah, okay. karen@casashaw.org. And I would also urge people to go to our website, casashaw.org, to check out our September information sessions as well. We have 3 of them. We like to have them at times on the weekends, after work, and during the day as well for some of our retirees in our communities as well who can get to the noon information sessions.
How many volunteers do you have?
Right now, we have about 140 volunteers off the top of my head, about 140 volunteers that have served, about 120 volunteers that have served about 240 kids this past year in our service region. Yeah, so at this moment, kids who are in care, we're serving about 75% of them in our service region. 25% of those kids still need a volunteer advocate.
You know, when I gave the presentation at CASA Shaw's volunteers, there was a mixture of older and younger folks.
Yeah.
But there were 99% women. I think there was one man there.
I think that's why they hired me, by the way.
And I just, is that average or?
It really is, Larry.
Yeah.
A lot more women we see tend to gravitate toward our program. I'm not necessarily sure why that is, and I don't want to hypothesize necessarily why that is.
Could be the mother instinct in women.
It could be. It could be the fact that you do actually see more women involved in social work.
And
this, to an extent, is a social work volunteer opportunity.
Right.
So I think there's definitely a lot more women. There are times when I go to meetings, quite frankly, where I'm the only guy, and I make sure that I keep quiet during those meetings.
You don't try to take over.
Exactly.
We have to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. When we come back.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are very privileged today to have with us Jeff Warren, who is the CASA Shores Community Outreach Coordinator. And we've been talking about what Cash Assure does, who it helps, you know, how it helps them, what an outreach coordinator does. You know. But I would like to ask, I think you said that the training was 30 hours and it usually takes about 6 weeks.
That's correct. Yeah, in order to become a CASA volunteer right. advocate, you got to right. go through that training.
Right. How many advocates do you need on an average?
That's a difficult question to answer because, as I mentioned earlier, if people were listening, if you weren't listening, we're currently serving 100% of children in care in Hunterdon County, close to 100%, just about 100% in Somerset County. But we have a lot of challenges really reaching people in Warren County where it's only about maybe 70 to 75%. So it's always fluctuating, Larry, in terms of the number because even though we are serving 100% of children in Hunterdon County, what's to say that in 2 months from now there's not going to be an additional 10 foster children right. because of a situation? So the numbers are always fluctuating, mm-hmm. but there's always a need. Whichever county that you are in, there's always a need for a CASA volunteer advocate. And if you're here in Hunterdon County, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility if you were interested, if you went through the training, that you could potentially have a CASA child in Warren County. In fact, that's what we're trying to do. Actually, we're trying to just get more of a outreach perspective, mm-hmm. like trying to make sure that we get to individuals who really want to serve those children in Warren County.
Well, I'm assuming that the volunteers, they're volunteers because it would take a heck of a lot of money to pay paid staff.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the cost because when I came to CASA Shaw, started working here, I had read information on, over the years that CASA Shaw has been in existence, how much money that we have saved taxpayers over the years.
Right.
$3.9 million over the years in taxpayer money has right. been saved based on a service that we provide, making sure that we are giving those best recommendations to the judges. But what has happened is that the success rate, and that's what's important.
Yeah,
it is over a 95% success rate. Over 95% of children who go into foster care and have a CASA volunteer advocate, they don't go back into foster care. And that is saving taxpayer money. It's part of a system that is working, and it's done because of dedicated volunteers. And I don't know if you can actually put a price on that.
If they don't go back into foster care, then I have to ask a dumb question.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
That means they are because
back in their homes?
Because
of
what our mission is, yes, they are back in their homes
okay.
with their biological parents or
okay.
they have been adopted, or they are continuing to stay with their resource parents,
yeah. okay.
and they're and that's where they're
right.
at.
Okay.
So it's a and that's what we're proud of, that 95%,
sure.
over 95% success rate with children not going back into
right.
foster care.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have some upcoming events in September.
We absolutely do. The information sessions that I was talking about earlier, every information session that we have in September is at our Washington, New Jersey office, which is at 150 Boulevard in Washington, New Jersey. The first one is Tuesday, September 10th. That's at noon. So if you are a retiree out there and you want to come up to the Washington, New Jersey office, again, let Karen Cassana, our volunteer trainer, know. Email her, karen@casashaw.org, and let Karen know if you'd like to come to the Saturday, September 21st information session as well. That's going on at 10 o'clock a.m. at our Washington, New Jersey office. Tuesday, September 24th at 5:30 p.m. again at our Washington office as well. Again, if you are interested in really helping to make a difference for a child, going to an information session is the very first part of the process that you need to go through. And we also have, if you don't mind me saying, Larry and Tracy, we also have an LGBTQ training with Garden State Equality on September 3rd in our Bridgewater office. Tracy Heisler, our executive director, she does what's called nurtured heart trainings throughout the year, talking about it's just a general positive influence that our communities and families should and can have on each other, October 31st in our Bridgewater office. And we are also partnering with the Coalition Against Human Trafficking on October 29th and October 30th this year to really engage our community with human and sex trafficking. I'm going to do a training with individuals in our community. And if doesn't matter what organization you're from, if you're retired, doesn't matter what age you are, come to one of our trainings. You're going to learn a lot of information about how these different partnerships and these different community organizations are working along with Casa Shaw to really help these kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
A lot of people know about Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I believe that's still in existence.
Does
your organization compare to them? What's the difference?
I think the difference with Big Brothers and Big Sisters, in fact, Karen Cassano, who I've mentioned, she was their former executive director. And before Karen came over here, she did a lot of great work at Big Brothers and Big Sisters. But Big Brothers and Big Sisters is more, from my understanding, more of a mentor type of programming that they have.
Okay.
While there is some mentoring-based components to what we do, it's more about, and I don't mean to be stale with a tagline, giving that independent voice to a judge to help the child. So we're writing reports for a judge, and the judge is going to use our reports. And more times than not, the judge loves our reports because we are the ones who are on the ground in the home actually seeing what's happening with these children.
He's not. You know,
exactly.
He or she is not.
Of course. Right. So what the difference is really from a mentoring standpoint, we want to make sure that these children are safe and that there's some permanency with regard to where they are going to be someday. That doesn't necessarily happen, from my understanding, at Big Brothers and Big Sisters. More of a mentor type of programming, I think, that they have. They do a great job, but, we're a little different in that regard.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, walking in the shoes, you know, because when I give a presentation, the first thing I speak about is my youngest son is schizophrenic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we've walked the walk.
Yeah.
You know, we've been through it.
Yeah.
He was hospitalized for almost 3 years in a state hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he's been in and out since then many times, but now he is a success story to all that know him.
Yeah.
And
that's
the doctors
great.
And everybody.
That's great.
He got his own apartment for over 7 years. He's, you know, been celebrated 4 years working at BJ's.
Nice.
Volunteers at the hospital one day a week, you know. So it's like he is a quote-unquote success story.
Yeah.
But I always do that so the audience that I'm speaking to know that I'm not just some suit standing up there that read a book and is talking about it.
Exactly.
You know, I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm speaking about something, I'm understanding it because I, 9 times out of 10, have went through it.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So I would like, if you have a success story to share.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We have a
lot.
That would be great.
Well, we have a lot.
Well, we don't have a lot of time.
Exactly.
Left, so, you know.
We have a lot of success stories. Like I said, over 95% of the kids don't go back into foster care.
Right.
I would say that one quick story.
Sure.
There was a little girl who was removed from her home because her mother had a substance abuse. Mm-hmm. Father was long gone. Mother had a substance abuse problem, and she was put into a resource home that she didn't know the individuals there at all, but she was at that age where she was in high school, and she was really interested in nursing. She was interested in healthcare for some reason, and her CASA volunteer advocate, through understanding her education and through just talking with her once a month, knowing what her interests were really able to steer her in the right direction by providing her information on where she could go to nursing school if she wanted to, where she could learn more and do research about nursing and what it takes to be a nurse. So that kind of direction inevitably got that girl into a nursing program right after high school. And if it wasn't for the CASA volunteer advocate providing information to her, not telling her she needs to do this or anything like that, but it was providing the information where the child really didn't have the wherewithal to be able to do it on her own or nowhere to even go to start, the CASA was there for her and then got her started, where the interest became more and more. Everything snowballed, where she was then able to register in a nursing school, and she was able to get a job as a nurse. And I think that's a great success story. Very short and sweet there, but that's what we see. That's what we see time and time again.
I'm sure you have another one.
Oh, we absolutely do.
Go ahead.
Listen, I can talk about my own. You talked about walking the walk. Not only am I, of course, a Casa Shaw employee, but I'm also a volunteer advocate. And I mentioned earlier during our discussion that – the oldest child within my case. There's four children within my case, and the oldest one just graduated high school this past year. And she, yes, was blessed to be an extremely intelligent individual in terms of not only her academics, but really what she, where she wanted to go. She knew she wanted to go to college. So another CASA volunteer and myself who were on the case, we really just tried to, you know, help her, steer in the right direction of what colleges she could apply to, should apply to. I mean, she ended up applying to Berkeley out in California. She applied to Rutgers. She applied to a lot of different – it was actually 14 schools, I believe, she applied to, was accepted, I think, at six or seven of them. We were proud of her that she applied to all those 14 colleges. But she inevitably is going to Rutgers and starting this year – after being through an extremely traumatic situation where there was abuse in the home and sexual abuse, and she's making her own way. And I'm not saying it's because of anything we necessarily did, but we were there to help guide her, and we were able to help the judge make good decisions.
Right.
Help that judge make good decisions that would allow her to travel down the path, really, that she wanted to travel down. So I view that as a success story.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm very proud of that. But you're talking about, you know, you got to walk the walk. It's great to not only work for CASA Shaw, but to be a volunteer advocate, too. It's very, it satisfies the soul, I should say.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left. So we have time. If you could, if somebody wanted some more information.
Absolutely.
How would they go about getting it?
Well, first and foremost, head to our website, CASASHAW.org. Learn more about our organization. Again, CASASHAW.org.
Let's spell that out.
Yes, CASASHAW.org. Learn a little bit about us. Understand what we do a little bit more to see if we would all be a good fit for each other, because there are people who do want to become a CASA volunteer advocate that at times we're like, well, we're not sure if this is right for you. You know, it's got to work in conjunction with each other. And I would also urge people to reach out to us, follow us on social media. We are on Facebook. You can search us out there, CASA Shaw. On Twitter, at CASA_Shaw, as well as Instagram. Follow our social media accounts. We're doing great things on there as well. And I would also say that, you know, having an empathetic heart is very important to the overall process as well. Having that empathetic heart and having an open mind is very, very important to the overall process as well. So if anybody wants to get in contact with us, again, you can email Karen Cassano at our office, Karen with a K, at CASASHAW.org, and we'll get back in touch with you, and we'll see how things go.
Karen's name is awful familiar. I don't know if I ever met her or not.
But well, like I said, she was the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters for many years.
Her name is awful familiar.
Yeah, great lady, great lady.
But, Jeff, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you both for having me, really.
We will be, you will be back. I assume you're going to come with Tracy when she comes.
I'm hoping in November we can come back, and I'm hoping that we can talk about some great, more great things that we're doing in the community.
And what's your thing tonight, real quick?
Great. Tonight, 5:30 at the Bethlehem Presbyterian Church here in Hunterdon County in Pittston. 2 Ray Street in Pittstown. Come to an information session. Learn more about us.
Okay. And thank you so much for coming. And you will be
back with
Tracy.
Thank
Absolutely.
After she gets her knee fixed there. She's got it fixed until it heals.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week. Same time, same station.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day, superior emergency care, At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill is firing Officer Daniel Panaleo following the arrest and death of Eric Gardner.
I've been a cop a long time. And if I was still a cop, I'd probably be mad at me. I would. You're not looking out for us. But I am.
O'Neill says while Gardner was non-compliant while being arrested and that cops are given latitude to use physical force during arrest, Panaleo used a banned chokehold in violation of department protocol. President Trump is speaking out against Democrats' stance on the border crisis. Trump says Democrats want open borders and crime and cited how dangerous that would be for all of the country. The president tweeted a series of pictures depicting the installation of the new border wall.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Behavior, he'd been asked to leave. Kenny had done so. He returned last night to exact vengeance, not just on those that he had been with as they were not at the apartment, but at any
time. Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe is that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jules McKinney.
Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, has completed his closed-door session with the Senate Intelligence Committee. He told reporters in a statement after that meeting, "I did not collude with Russia," and added, "I do not know of anyone else who colluded with Russia."
"I had no improper contacts. I have not relied on Russian funds for my businesses. And I have been fully transparent in providing all requested information."